Amen. Let's go ahead and stand, if you would. Grab your Bibles, Acts chapter number 8, if you would, please. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you all out for Sunday night service. Acts chapter 8, we're going to read just one verse here, because we have, as Pastor mentioned, we have some things in store here in a little bit. So I'm just going to read one verse and get us going. So that should give you hope. False hope, maybe, but I'll give you hope nonetheless. Acts chapter 8, just one verse in verse number 37, and then we'll back up and, of course, cover what's going on here. But in Acts 8, 37, it says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So I'm going to talk about a specific topic this evening. Should go pretty quickly, like I said. But so here's my question that I want to pose to you all, and hopefully answer it kind of throughout the time that I have here. What is our role in outreach? What is our role? And some of you may already know the answer. If you do, just kind of keep it to yourself and don't blow my message. Okay, so what is our role and outreach? So let's pray, and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for the good singing and the fellowship and all the things that's already taken place. But now I pray that you'd help us as we look into your word. May we do it the respect that it is due and apply where necessary. And we just ask that you might lead as you would see fit this evening. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So here in a little bit, we're going to talk about 2024 and kind of what that looks like from a outreach perspective. I'm not opposed to the word visitation. I'm just not going to use it as we kind of go through the evening. I kind of prefer the term outreach myself, but there's nothing really wrong with the term visitation. So don't, if you prefer that term, then I'm going to use them kind of interchangeably, okay? So don't get offended. It's just a different wording, okay? But what is our role? Because you understand tonight, let's kind of ease into this, okay? I want to make sure you're awake. We have a role to play in reaching others. Okay, we have a role to play. And oftentimes, we go to the Great Commission, right? And we talked about what is our role from a church setting. But as you all know, churches are made up of what? People, individuals. There are some families, I understand that, and we like families around Calvary Baptist Church. Even families are made up of individuals, made up of people. And so each of us, individually, collectively, as families and as church, we all have a role to play. Okay? We all have a role to play. As God's people, we are expected to take outreach seriously. I'm not saying you can't have fun while doing it. Okay, you all know me well enough by now. I like to have fun just about everything I do. Okay, I like to joke around. I like to play games. I like to do all that stuff. But that doesn't take away from the seriousness of the mission. Okay, because you understand tonight, we are fighting a battle. We're fighting a battle. There is a lot against us when it comes to outreach and reaching out to other people. There's a lot against us in that. Do you agree? You agree with that? Our responsibility to the community around us is crucial to the work of God in our lives and in theirs. You understand outreach isn't necessarily just for the benefit of the one receiving it. We get something out of outreach too. We get to see God work. We get to see God change lives. We get to see someone that we've prayed for a long time accept Christ in their life completely change around. Isn't that exciting? Amen. That's exciting to me. I love seeing that. We've had some young airmen come through the College and Career Conference, and we've seen their lives changed. My class got a front row seat to seeing what happens when someone gets saved and gets serious about serving God. And let me tell you, that propels you forward. Amen. Propels you forward to see that. So what is our role in outreach? What can we do to maximize our impact to the world around us? So let's get right into it here. I believe there are at least three things that need to happen. Okay, so number one, there must be a leading of God. God's got to be in it. We're not going to reach anybody or very few in an effective way without God's leadership. He has to be in it. And we see that in this account. Of course, this is the account of Philip and the eunuch, right? A familiar passage that's often preached, you know, in all types of settings, because it is a great account as to what happens, how immediate the word of God can cut through a person. But in verse number 26, let's back up just a little bit here. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And skip down to verse number 29, if you would. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. We all know that the invitation for anyone and everyone to be saved is still open. Say amen if you believe that. I believe that until God says so, anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. And that is a long-standing invitation. But what I want you to notice is in verses 26 and 29, Philip didn't go anywhere until God told him to. Do you see it? In verse number 26, and the angel of the Lord, what? Spake. And told him where to go. Verse number 29, then the Spirit, what? Do you see the leading here? Do you see how God can lead in directing a person to another person? And we understand, okay, I'm not negating the church side of this. I'm just saying that as individuals, don't you believe that God can lead you to someone He wants to speak to? Yeah, right. I believe God uses people. Otherwise, why are we here? God uses people. And when God leads, God will always provide a way. Now, I do want to be clear. This account has a good ending. Amen? This account has a good ending. If you don't know the account, we'll talk about it here in a second. But the Bible is clear, there will always be some who will not listen. Jesus didn't have a 100% success rate. Paul didn't have a 100% success rate. Nobody did. Nobody can. But that doesn't mean that we don't go where He leads us to go. God will always lead His people to go where there is someone who will hear. He will always lead where there is a need. He'll always do that. Whenever someone is seeking God, I believe God is just big enough to bring someone with the answers. So there must be a leading of God, and we see that with Philip here. Everybody still okay? We doing all right? Okay, so number two. So there must be a leading from God, and number two, there must be a hunger from the one who is lost. There must be a hunger. Have you ever knocked on somebody's door and they don't want to listen to you? I'm the only one. Okay. So I've knocked on people's doors and said, and gotten as far as, my name is, boom, right? They didn't even know what I was going to say yet. I could have said, you've just won $1 million, and they missed out. I'm not going to do that, but they'll never know. And that's because people, it seems like there are some that just don't have a hunger. There's some people who just don't want to know. And again, we are told in Scripture that this is going to happen. Right? There's going to be people who don't want to know. But in order for outreach to be effective, number one, God has to be in it. And number two, we have to be effective in reaching those who are hungry. Once God leads His people to the one who needs a Savior, there must be a demonstration of hunger for the Word of God. Do you see that in the passage here? Okay, well, let's look at it then. Verses 31, let's read just a couple of these here. And I want to demonstrate how hungry this eunuch was for the word of God. In verse number 31, and he said, "How can I?" This is the eunuch speaking in verse 31. And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He's seeking for a guide here. You don't want a guide for something you don't want to see. Fair? Verse 34, let's get down. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Verse number 36, it says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water." You see it? Okay. "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Do you think it's okay to say that he was hungry? I can just imagine as they're driving by on that chariot, he said, "I think that puddle might be deep enough to dip me in." You know, he's hungry. He wants so badly to know the answers. That demonstrates hunger. But there can be no feeding where there is no hunger, right? You ever been sick before and you just lost your appetite? You ever been through that? Are you okay tonight? We all right? Okay, apparently nobody's been sick either, so this is a big revelation to me. But apparently, I hear from other people, not you all, that whenever you are, whenever you're sick, sometimes you lose your appetite, okay? And listen, we live in a world that is sick spiritually. The world has always been sick spiritually, right? It's always been the case. Here in America, though, it's getting pretty dark. It's getting pretty sickly. And so what does that mean? That means that there's less hunger. There's less hunger. I talked to the college and career class last week about hospitality and some different things in regards to that. And when it comes to hunger, you know in the definition of hunger, that only a healthy person can hunger. People who are unhealthy don't hunger. Our nation is not as healthy as it used to be. I understand that. I see those things. We live in a dark and ungodly culture. I'm not denying that. But with that, there are also people who are more hungry than ever. Do you believe there are still people out there who want to hear your message? I absolutely do. I believe there are still people out there who are seeking for the truth. I believe there are people out there who still want to hear the hope of the Word of God. And the darker the world gets, the number may be fewer as well, but the hunger just might be a little bit greater. Because anybody with half a brain can look around and say, this culture is not doing well. It's not doing great. There's got to be something better. That's where we come in. Don't you think it's possible there's some people in Knobnostra, Missouri who are looking around thinking, this can't be it. And they're starting to develop a hunger. They're starting to see through some of the things. Listen, I'm not saying that there's some vast audience out in Knobnostra who is just hungering. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying there might be a few. And listen, if there's a few, it's worth going. There just might be some people who are hungry. And then number three, lastly, there must be a willingness of a servant. God's got to be in it. There's got to be a hunger. And lastly, number three, somebody's got to be willing to go. Somebody's got to be willing to sacrifice a little bit. And we see that all throughout the account with Philip. He went where God told him to go. We see that twice in verses 26 and 29. And then Philip, he keeps showing up in a positive way, right? And you might think it's a little bit silly that I say it that way, but it's the truth. In verse number 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. God told him where to go. And Philip ran thither. He ran. Listen, I don't run very much. Unless something bigger than me is close behind, I ain't running. And that's just a level of comfort I've accepted in my adult life. But Philip, he understood the need. He understood God told him to go. God led. He understood that there was someone who needed answers. So he ran. He ran thither. Don't you think it's fair to say that Philip might have been willing? Don't you think it's fair to say that Philip, with an overwhelming desire to please his God, with a hunger himself to tell someone else the answers that he once received, he was willing to go? Don't you think that's important? It doesn't do a lot of good to be really hungry if there's no food in the house. You ever find yourself in that predicament? Maybe after like a missions conference or a revival, you know, we're off normally that Friday night, and we get home and we think, man, I'm hungry. And you open the fridge and it's gone. There's nothing there. You haven't had time to grocery shop all week. Am I the only one? Y'all keep leaving me alone up here. I don't appreciate it. Listen, there must be a willingness of a servant. And again, this is where we come in. As people who are saved, if you're saved, say amen. As people who are saved, we ought to have a willingness to go. That ought to be one of the first things that was instilled in your heart after you got saved. You want someone else to go through what you just went through. When God leads us to a hungry soul, it's not our job to save them or tell them what to do. It's not our job. Didn't we all agree with that? It's not our job. Philip gave the eunuch the information he needed and let the eunuch do the rest. And I'm saying this for a reason, and that is this. Our job in outreach, if God's leading and there's a hungry soul, our job is to give them enough information just so they consider it. They consider it. Here's what I mean. We don't knock on doors to tell them what to pray. We don't knock on doors and have a kiddie tub in the van so they can get baptized right there. We don't do that. Because people have to come to their own decision. And this should take, those of you who are terrified of knocking doors, I would ask you to raise your hand, but you're probably an introvert and won't do it. So if you are scared of knocking doors, this should take some of the pressure off. It's not your job to save them. It's not your job to make them do anything. It's not your job to change their life for them. All you have to do is sometimes just tell them what God did for you. Put a face to the scriptures. Let them see your life. Invite them to church so they can see there's a bunch of other weirdos out there. Okay? This stuff is important. And it's so vitally important that when we approach outreach, our goal is not to make them do anything. Just give them what they need to know. Philip told the eunuch, he explained his question, which is about the book of Isaiah. And it was, of course, about Christ. Because even the Old Testament points to Christ, by the way. Everything in the Word of God points to Christ. It's 66 books, but it's one divine library pointing us to our Creator. And so, he pointed in Isaiah to the Word of God, to God, and said, and the eunuch said, remember his question? Who is this talking about? Who is this person? And then Philip told him of Jesus. Told him of Jesus. And after Philip was done, at some point along there, we get to verse number 37, I think it is, where Philip says, if you want to believe, you can. Thou mayest. You see it there in verse 37? Thou mayest. If you want to believe, you can. If you don't want to believe, that's fine too. Just know, you have the information now. Right. And our role in outreach is just simply to say enough so that they consider it. Let God lead. Let God convict. Let God. You don't have to knock on doors with an introduction, a three-point outline, an application, and have an altar call. You don't have to do that. Just give them enough information so that they're willing to consider. So that the information they get from you is what could change their life. You still believe that today? You still believe that the Bible can change lives?
Amen.
I do too. So let's get them to consider. Amen? Let's all stand if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed.